Israeli forces have killed Al Jazeera correspondent Shireen Abu Akleh as she covered Israeli raids in the occupied West Bank. The network calls it a blatant murder in cold blood. There are international demands for a thorough investigation, but will anyone be held accountable for her death? I'm Nastasia Tay, and you're listening to the Inside Story podcast, where we dissect, analyze, and help define major global stories. Well, let's now bring in our guests. In Ramallah, we have Noor Ordeh, a former Al Jazeera journalist and a colleague of Shireen Abu Akleh. In Paris, Pauline Adez-Mevel, spokesperson at Reporters Without Borders. And in West Jerusalem, Ofer Katsif, a politician and also a member of the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. Welcome to the programme. Thank you so much for your time today. Noor, firstly, my condolences. I know you are not only a former colleague, but also a friend. So I'll start by asking you what you're feeling right now. Anger, sadness, surprise?
All of the above and more. Shireen was not any colleague. She was a beautiful human being, a journalist of impeccable professional standards, of high integrity. She was a school, if you will, in this a tough line of work and an inspiration, I know, to many young journalists, female and male, throughout the 25 years of her career in Palestine, covering the story in Palestine and also around the world.
Ofer, you're sitting in West Jerusalem. Can I ask you about the response from the Israeli side so far and how you feel about it?
First of all, I want, of course, to send my condolences to the family, to the relatives, to the friends of the late and the very esteemed journalist, Shireen. We visited her family today in the occupied East Jerusalem. Of course, the sadness is profound. Our sadness, too, in the joint list and specifically in Hadash, the Democratic Front for Peace and Equality, and the Communist Party. And so I would like, first and foremost, to send my condolences. And I must say that our rage, because you asked me how the Israeli side sees it. Unfortunately, it's not only that Israel is the occupier and is guilty in a series of crimes against the Palestinian people, and today the murder. And I wouldn't like to say, you know, less than that. It's not the death. It's the murder of Shireen. It's not only that the government of Israel and the occupying forces are guilty in that. They are also guilty in lying to the public and saying that this is the responsibility of the Palestinians. And we encounter time after time for many years the lies of the spokesman of the Israeli military, of the occupying forces, and of politicians. The Minister of Defense, just a while ago, in the plenum of the Knesset, stood there and simply lied to the public and to the members of the Knesset by putting the blame on the Palestinian side. How much the world can tolerate? How much? I appeal here to the international community and say, don't turn your head from the tragedy that the Palestinian people has been going through for ages. And today, and the tragedy of the family of Shireen, this is unbearable. The Israeli government lies, and the truth must be told.
Ofer, you use the word murder there, and I want to bring Pauline in here because, as we know and as we heard earlier, there was no confrontation going on at the time of the shooting. Shireen was very clearly wearing her blue press jacket. And we also know that the shooting continued from witnesses who were there, that it continued after she was on the ground, so no one could actually even approach her for help. Now, Pauline, I want to ask you, what went through your head when you heard about the circumstances of her death?
Thank you very much for welcoming me. What is clear is that there is an urgent need for international independent investigation into the case. It's obvious that we don't have all elements to call it a murder, to know exactly what has happened with the killing of the journalist. Was she targeted? What happened exactly? Who is responsible? There are rumors, there are statements from everywhere. It is obvious that on the field, this zone, Jenin, is extremely dangerous for journalists, and they are often victims, collateral victims of shooting. This very experienced journalist died, and it's absolutely necessary that the truth is known on the case. We are determined at Reporters Without Borders to bring our help to ensure responsibility for all those involved in the killing are known, and to bring them to justice. It's a question of end of impunity. It's a question of message sent to the other journalists. On top of being saddened, we condemn her killing because it constitutes a serious breach of the Geneva Convention and the Resolution 2222 of the UN Security Council on the protection of journalists. So the truth needs to be known for the family, her friends, her colleagues, Al Jazeera, etc. So the other journalists on the ground know what has happened and are protected.
Well, I want to talk a little more about the targeting of the press, and not just journalists, but specifically Palestinian journalists, as you alluded to there. We've heard about active targeting with tear gas, stun grenades, even live ammunition, and we know that the UN has also documented a huge number of these. Now, Noor, as a former journalist yourself, would you say that Palestinian journalists are being treated differently from others?
Well, they are, in the sense that they are targets, as any of us who've worked in the field know. When we work on the ground, when the Israeli army is raiding a city, we know that we are walking targets. Our wearing of clothes that clearly mark us as journalists are, you know, of sentimental value, if you will. We know that they will not shield us from Israeli fire. We've seen that happen time and again. And over the years, Palestinians have bid several journalists goodbye. In fact, over 40 of them since the year 2000. So this is not an isolated incident. The impunity with which Israel targets journalists, some of them documenting their own demise, their own targeting by Israeli fire or tank shells, as we saw our colleague Fadl Shanaa, for example, in Gaza in 2008. All of those cases happened. The culprit was not a mystery. It was very clear that it was Israeli forces responsible for their killing. Independent commissions of inquiry of the United Nations and the Human Rights Council also concluded the same about other journalists like Yasser Murtaza and others, and still no accountability. And I think today, more than anything else, in addition to the rage, in addition to the tears and to the serious pain that everybody is feeling, this is a deja vu of injustice, if you will, that none of the journalists wanted to feel. They were reminded of just how cheap their lives are out there because they are operating under an occupation that is above international law, above accountability, that is shielded from even verbal reproach by many powerful countries. And they've seen this happen time and again. The fact that it's happened to such an icon, to such a distinguished journalist,
indeed,
makes it all the more painful.
I do want to look a little more at forms of recourse and accountability for crimes like this, because just last month, international and Palestinian media groups submitted a formal complaint with the International Criminal Court accusing Israel of war crimes against journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists says 24 journalists have been killed since 2002. Now, that figure doesn't even include Shireen Abu Akleh. Other press freedom advocates have reported higher numbers. Israel systematically targets journalists from outlets, including Al Jazeera. Several were detained back in 2010 on board a humanitarian flotilla heading to Gaza. A year ago this week, an Israeli airstrike destroyed the offices of Al Jazeera and the Associated Press in Gaza. And then just a month later, Israeli soldiers arrested Al Jazeera journalist Javara Budari as she covered protests in occupied East Jerusalem. Now, by my understanding, a body like the International Criminal Court can't prosecute individual cases. They have to look at war crimes, so something that is widespread, something that is systematic. But we've seen documented again and again different accounts of cases like this. Now, Pauline, let me ask you then, do you think we've reached that threshold of widespread and systematic?
Well, it's clear that the conflict with Israel has had a big impact on Palestinian journalists, and they are subjected to arrest, violence, destruction of equipment, legal proceedings, denial of accreditation. What you said is absolutely clear. Can I recall that when we published our annual index last week, we, of course, tried to show that Palestine has dropped from rank 132 to rank 170, which means that it lost 38 ranks, 170, sorry, out of 180 countries. So in the very, very last part of our index, because notably of the situation for Palestinian journalists and the fact that they are commonly targeted and subjected to arrest. Yes, you recall the shooting, the Gaza building last year, Al Jazeera Gaza building, but obviously it's an extremely dangerous zone to exercise journalism.
I want to turn to this joint investigation that Israel is talking about. Ofer, do you have any confidence in how thorough and transparent that will be?
Look, I would like to add to the things that were said before. Sorry. Israel has been pursuing, as we all know, ethnic cleansing, apartheid regime, and the occupation for many years now. But at the same time, Israel wants to hide the crimes it is responsible for. Who is going to be targeted in order to hide those crimes? Those who expose the crimes, basically journalists and human rights organizations. And surprisingly, you can see that in the last few months, Israel has been persecuting human rights organizations. We all heard about those six human rights organizations, Palestinian human rights organizations, that were arbitrarily declared as terrorist organizations. This is one way to stop the exposure of Israeli crimes. And others are journalists. So, and how do they do that? By either disallowing them to enter specific areas or by harming them physically, either by shooting them or by beating them. So obviously, I have no confidence in any organization or apparatus that is part of the occupying system itself, either the military, the police, the Shin Bet, etc., etc. No confidence in the occupier. There should be an independent international committee and an only independent international committee to investigate the crimes that Israel has been pursuing for so many years, including the crimes against journalists, including, of course, the assassination of the late Shirin.
Now, we have seen very strong statements from a number of countries, Qatar, the UK, the US, all calling for a thorough investigation, but also condemning what's happened here. Noor, I know you're now working as well as a political analyst. Can you give us a sense of how you feel, how far this diplomatic fallout could go? Could there be consequences for Israel?
Well, regrettably, there isn't really a lot of confidence in how far these condemnations will go. We know that Al Jazeera and that Qatar will follow through and pursue justice for Shireen, but quite frankly, the United States and other countries, including the UK, have been notorious for shielding Israel from accountability. They have pressured the ICC in the past not to accept any engagement with the referrals made to them about Israeli war crimes and other violations of the Rome Statute. We've seen time and again at the United Nations how these countries try to protect Israel from any kind of even verbal rhetorical reproach, if you will. So the confidence really is quite shaken. I'm not sure that journalists will take comfort in all of those statements, knowing full well that, again, we've been here before, we've seen this before, perhaps not as pronounced in terms of condemnation, because, again, Shireen was not an ordinary journalist. She is an icon, and I really, it's difficult to talk about her in the past tense still. But the political reality is so dismal, the political reality is so hypocritical and duplicitous that, you know, it will take a lot to convince Palestinians that the same standards will be applied to Israel as those being applied to countries that systematically violate the rights of journalists and target them, whether by killing them or by imprisoning them. Israel has gotten away with it for far too long. There is a culture of impunity. It knows it can get away with it. And the only way that will change is if we see real consequences for these Israeli crimes. Statements alone will simply not do it. You have over 50 years of statements like this. None of them have brought us closer to ending the occupation and to ending this trend of Israeli aggression against Palestinians.
No, you use the word there, icon, and we've heard time and time again just what a household name Shireen was across the region. Ofer, I'm curious, sitting in Israel now, do you think a killing like this could shift Israeli opinion?
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid that the majority in Israel is brainwashed and follows the opinions and the instructions of the military and the government, the rightist government. So I'm not very optimistic about that, but I still believe that, and I'm sure we will continue our struggle within the Israeli society and the parliament. And I'm very optimistic that in the long run, we will prevail. But in the short run, I'm afraid, and just following what happened, the tragedy, the crime that happened today, as this is in itself, I'm afraid won't change much.
Now, given the tensions, the anger, the mourning that we're seeing, and as someone who knew Shireen not only as a journalist, but as a friend, and as someone who wanted to tell nuanced human stories, I'm curious, in your mind, what would Shireen want to be her legacy?
The love of the people that was so evident since the moment that she was shot and then pronounced dead. Palestine mourns Shireen sincerely. People have come out to the street in every city. They've stopped the car carrying her body to bid her farewell properly, to pay their respect that she's owed. Shireen, you know, was someone who was not just credible in the eyes of Palestinians. She was a trusted messenger who spoke on their behalf, who told their story accurately and with integrity and with honesty, without any embellishment, without any exaggeration. She was elegant in every way and grand, really, in every report, regardless how dire the situation was. And Shireen has covered every major story in Palestine for the past 25 years. She's seen her share of death and destruction and danger, and she never lost that grace that everybody knows her, Shireen to be. She will be remembered always fondly as someone who has inspired others to tell the truth, to follow in her footsteps, to speak truth to power without losing grace, and to be accurate and professional and extremely difficult not to like.
Noor, thank you so much for sharing your reflections at this really tragic time. Well, thank you to all of our guests, Noor O'Day, Pauline Adesmevel, and Ofer Kassif. Well, that's it for the Inside Story podcast for today. This episode was produced by Calvin Ng, Usama Aloni, Abdurrahman Wasame, and Paul Taylor. Studio sound was by Dragan Vrankovic. The program was edited by Vishnu Sheila, Lynn Enwin and Joe DeFrias. Be sure to subscribe to the Inside Story podcast to catch every episode. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again on Thursday.